and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week, we have a show that is of rare historical interest, but some sound that is not perfect. Hang in there, it's worth listening to this special show. First, we have the only radio appearance of Flo Ziegfeld, the impresario of the Ziegfeld Follies, in the Ziegfeld Follies on the Air. This show was broadcast in 1932 at the very beginning of radio's golden age. All the shows were live then, and we rarely find recordings. Ziegfeld died a couple of months later from the complications of a lung ailment. This show is a rare glimpse of the rollicking fun of the Follies shows, with beautiful girls, hilarious comedy, and other variety acts. This was recorded before radio shows added room for a studio audience. Enjoy a very early example of radio variety with Ziegfeld Follies on the Air with Florence Ziegfeld, first broadcast April 10th, 1932 on CBS.
Chrysler Motors on the Air.
Like a melody that haunts through night and day.
A pretty girl is like a melody, one of the loveliest and surely the most appropriate of all the Ziegfeld songs for creating that unmistakable Ziegfeld atmosphere. For you know a radio show must make a mental picture. And to the strains of the Irving Berlin tunes, we bring you the second of the Ziegfeld radio shows with Mr. Ziegfeld in person and a galaxy of Ziegfeld stars chosen from a list that includes almost every great name of the stage and the screen. These programs come to you with the compliments of Chrysler Motors, manufacturers of Plymouth, DeSoto, Dodge, and Chrysler cars. In presenting these Ziegfeld radio shows, Chrysler Motors is confident that it has assembled radio's greatest gathering of stars. Just as in the Plymouth car, Chrysler Motors has combined outstanding features to make the Plymouth the greatest dollar value in the lowest price field. And now, here is our genial master of ceremonies, Mr. Eddie Dowling.
And now let's get on with the show. We're glad to be back with you again, and what a cast. Now, Al Goodman, let's have that overture. Take you back, I hope so, for opening our show tonight with a few selections from the first Ziegfeld Follies, produced on the roof of the New York Theater, July 15th, 1907. In imagination, let us look at that audience of a quarter of a century ago. There's Alan Dale, the most feared critic of his time, John Drew, that elegant gentleman, Raymond Hitchcock in evening clothes and a red vest, and grinning like a boy is that irrepressible one, the matchless Caruso. And now, with emeralds as big as hen's eggs glowing in his shirt front, is Diamond Jim Brady, the most famous first nighter of them all. And here's Lillian Russell, whose pink and white beauty was admired by all America. She's just arrived in her coupe. Not a blue coupe, but a shining carriage drawn by a span of sleek black horses in jingling harness. They're all here tonight to see the first six of Hollies. The curtain is going up. Listen to those gorgeous girls singing that opening chorus.
Here we are,
and there's Charlie Ross, and oh boy, what a comedian he was. This song should bring back fragrant memories to a lot of you. Listen! Bob Budweiser is a friend of mine. Friend of mine, yes, a friend of mine. What care I if the sun don't shine? But I've got Budweiser. That's the reason I feel so fine. Do I feel fine? You can bet I feel fine. So Bill the Kaiser is a friend of Budweiser. Budweiser's a friend of mine. Oh, Bob,
Budweiser's a friend of mine. Friend of mine is a friend of mine. What care I if the sun don't shine? What a god.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the young man who produced that great show 25 years ago and who has since become a greater name than any of his dozens of shows, Mr. Florence Ziegfeld.
I'll never forget that night, Eddie, but there are a couple of things you haven't told. On the sidewalk in front of the theater, a young fellow was selling tickets. Later, he became our greatest producer of dramatic extravaganzas, Morris Guest. And across the street at Hammerstein's Victoria Theater, a boy was playing in a vaudeville act called A Night in an English Music Hall. Now he is the most popular comedian the world has ever known, Charlie Chaplin.
That's right, Flo. You never know what great talent will turn up.
You never know. For example, where did you find Kate Smith?
Oh, that's funny. At a benefit performance in Washington, just as the moon came over the mountain.
Remember the night, Addie? I dragged you through the rain up to a smoky little cafe in the 50s to listen to a girl sing?
Remember it, I'll never forget it. You recall, Flo, when we stepped in the door, it was a great male quartet singing.
I know that you know that I'll go where you go. I choose you, won't lose you. I wish you knew how much I long to hold you in my arms. This time is my time, will soon be goodbye time. And in the starlight, hold me tight with one more little kiss, say nighty-night.
Well, you didn't bring me up here in the rain to listen to four men.
No, I brought you up here to hear a girl. And there she is.
Well, she's sitting on the piano. Say, that's a cute idea. And oh, isn't she beautiful? What's her name, Flo?
Her name is Helen Morgan. Listen to her.
Life was never so blue till I saw love passing on. And now everything's futile. You came without, you're gone. Skies are more cold now, and I'm part of their gray. The romance is old now, you grow dear each day. What a life to live alone. What a life, trying to live without you. All the love that used to be sings a minor melody. What a life, trying to live without you. While the funny little things we not meant for one. They were made for two. Just the same, the world goes on. I must live. Trying to live without you.
Don't tell her it's Ziegfeld, or she'll want a lot of money.
All right, boss. I'll do the best I can. Excuse me, Miss Morgan. My name is Eddie Dowling.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Dowling?
There's a gentleman sitting at the table with me who'd like to talk to you about going into a new show.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh, that doesn't matter so much. You wouldn't know him.
All right. I'd be glad to talk to him.
We're sitting right over here across. I loved your voice. Well, boss, here's Miss Morgan. I told her you wanted her for a show.
Good evening, Mr. Ziegfeld.
How'd you know who I was?
Why, I worked for you a long time ago in the chorus of Sally.
Why didn't you sing for me then?
Oh, Mr. Ziegfeld, I was too afraid.
Well, anyhow, I want you for my new show, Showboat.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ziegfeld. That will be a great honor.
And now let's turn the leaves in the Ziegfeld scrapbook of memories to the follies of 1909, and to a young couple who to this day, 23 years later, are still considered the greatest singers of romantic songs our stage has known. Nora Bays and her husband, Jack Knowles. Let us pretend we are listening to them again in one of their many successes, when it's apple blossom time in Normandy.
On a farm in Normandy, very bright and rosemary, she was the pride of the country. Fair as a maid could be. Came a lover bold one day, with a most persuasive way. Though she was grieving, when he was leaving, he consoled her in this way. I'm in Normandy, I walk with me in Normandy, by that dear old wishing well with you, Marie. When it's apple blossom,
Exciting first night. Let's step in for a moment in the Ziegfeld Theater on the first night of the Follies of 1931 and listen to one of the funniest comedians who ever appeared under the auspices of Ziegfeld. Little Jack Pearl himself in person.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Cliff.
What's the matter? You look troubled.
Well, I got my problem.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for the last half hour, I've been trying to get a telephone number.
Oh, did you call Central?
Did I call Central? Every name I could think of.
And whom did you want to talk to?
I should speak with my brother.
Oh, your brother?
My brother, yeah.
What did you want with him?
I want you to come out in my car.
Oh, you have a car?
I got a lovely car.
What's the name of it?
Blimowat.
A what?
Blimowat.
I'm sorry, Jack. I don't understand you.
Oh, well, look, I don't know how to say that. I'm not here in this country long. Suppose, you remember the foreigners when they come over?
The foreigners?
From the other side, they come over, and they come over on a rock.
They came over on a what?
On a rock.
You mean they landed on a Plymouth rock? I remember. You mean you have a Plymouth car?
You took the word out of my mouth.
And a very fine car it is, too,
yeah,
Jack.
Yeah, it's a lovely car.
How's it running?
Well, it's lovely running.
It is.
Only I just had an accident.
You had an accident?
An accident.
What happened?
A puncture.
A what?
A puncture. Puncture in my tire.
You got a puncture in your tire?
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen?
I ran over a bottle.
Well, that was carelessness on your part. While driving, didn't you see the bottle?
No. It was in the man's pocket.
Oh, by the way, Jack, you were talking about your brother. I didn't know you had a brother.
Sure.
What's his name?
I know him so well, I forgot him. No.
You can't think of your brother's name.
Yeah,
Would you know him if you saw him?
Oh, sure.
Well, that's something, anyway.
Sure, I know.
Would he know you?
Sure, he should.
He should.
This is a suit I'm wearing. Oh.
Well, just a minute, Jack. Perhaps I can help you. What letter of the alphabet does your brother's name begin with?
Starts with a Z.
A Z?
Z.
There aren't many names beginning with Z.
No, he only needs one.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see now. Zebra?
No.
Zodiac?
No.
Zabisco?
No, please. This is a man, not a cracker.
Oh, really?
No, not Z like you said.
Oh, no?
No, I mean A, B, Z.
Oh, C.
Z.
C. Well, it's Charles.
No, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Joseph.
Why, that's silly, Jack. Joseph doesn't begin with C. No. Haven't you ever gone to school?
Oh, sure, I was in school, only I had to leave school early on account of pneumonia.
Oh, that's too bad. How long were you in bed with it?
In bed with what?
Pneumonia.
I wasn't in bed with it.
You just said you had to leave school early on account of pneumonia.
Yeah, I couldn't spell it.
The trouble with you, Jack, is you're dizzy, that's what...
Oh, I'm dizzy?
Yes, you're dizzy.
Oh, I want to ask you something. Why is it I'm always dizzy when I look out of a high window?
Well, Jack, that's very easily explained. You see, the brain, that is the cerebellum, is composed of several different compartments.
Is that so?
Yes, now one of these compartments controls the equilibrium.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you see, unless this is highly sensitive, the equilibrium is nil.
Oh, please.
Or in other words, you are suffering with an altitude complex. I hope I've made myself clear.
Yeah, but why is it I'm always dizzy when I look out of the
high Oh, my. All right, I take back what I said about being dizzy. You're just dumb.
Who's dumb?
You're dumb.
Now, listen, Mr. Smart Alex, I tell you something.
Now just a
please,
minute.
Please, now wait.
Now, don't get excited. You'll get high blood pressure.
No, not me. I'm anemic.
Oh, you
I tell you what I do with you. Listen, I never was in school so long I left. You hear? No, I tell a big bluff when I say that before. I will bet you $5. You hear?
Yes, I am.
I will bet you $5 with all your smartness. I could answer my question where you could not answer yours. Now, what do you think of that?
Just let me understand you. You want to wager me $5 that you can answer your question where I can't answer mine.
Exactly my word.
All right, the bet is on.
All right, have you got $5 with
yes,
you?
I think so.
Well, if you win, you'll trust me.
Oh, okay.
let me see how I will put it. Did you ever was in the woods?
Did I what?
Don't you hear good?
Well, yes, I hear you, but I don't understand you.
Did you ever was in the woods?
Oh, in the woods?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, many times.
Oh, you was?
Yes.
When you was in the woods, did you ever see holes?
Did I ever see what?
Why did I ever meet you? did you ever see holes?
Oh, holes.
Holes.
Oh, well, what kind of holes?
Well, I would say rabbit holes.
What kind of holes?
Rabbit holes.
Rabbit holes? Yes, I've seen rabbit holes.
I'll do your hair. Do you know? Do you understand what I'm
saying? Yes, I understand.
Do you know how the rabbit makes that hole without leaving any dirt around it?
Do I know how the rabbit makes the hole without leaving any dirt around it?
Exactly.
Well, now, that's a very difficult question, and I must admit I can't answer it. Can you?
That is my question, and I must answer that. They start from the bottom, and they dig up. And I never was in school so long I lived.
Ah, but I have you now.
What?
How does the rabbit get to the bottom in order to dig to the top?
That's your question. You answer that.
Oh, oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my impression of the late Sam Bernard singing Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, oh, many years ago, lived the wife of happy Rip Van Winkle. Thank you. One day, she drove poor Rip away as the little stars began to twinkle. All that he had under his hat. And she was glad to see him go. So, over the hills he went, left him without a cent. One thing I'm anxious to know, who paid the rent for Mrs. Rip Van Winkle? When Rip Van Winkle went away, and while he slept, for 20 years. Who was it? Kissed away those tears. She had no friends in the place, had no one to embrace. But the landlord always left her with a smile on her face. Who paid the rent for Mrs. Rip Van Winkle? When Rip Van Winkle went away. Sufficient.
A word more about that black-haired girl whom Mr. Ziegfeld engaged that rainy evening in the little nightclub, Miss Helen Morgan. You know, of course, how Miss Morgan, in the midst of an uproariously funny show, can make them cry with one of her tender songs. That's what she did to me in Sweet Adeline. And I can see her now in that scene in the play when she unselfishly stepped aside to let her little sister marry the man Helen loved.
And in these lonely evenings, with nothing to do, but to live in dreams that I make up all by myself. Dreaming that you're beside me, I picture the prettiest story, only to wake up all by myself. What is the good of what am I giving? Why do I want the thing I don't want? What can I hope for? I wish I knew. Why do I try to draw you near me? Why do I cry? You never hear me. I'm a poor fool, but what can I do? Why was I born to love?
And now we bring to you in person one of Mr. Ziegfeld's greatest comedians, the man with the rubber legs, Mr. Leon Earle. Mr. Errol will reenact first a scene from Ziegfeld's Sally, a scene in a Greenwich Village restaurant in which Mr. Errol plays a Grand Duke, who through a circumstance of fate is now a waiter in a little cafe. The dishwasher is a beautiful golden-haired girl, Sally, an orphan. Sally with the title. To the cafe frequently has come the son of a millionaire who has fallen in love with little Sally, but because of parental objection, Sally now feels that all hope of happiness is gone, and we find Sally crying over her dishes. The Grand Duke waiter philosophically tries to console her aching heart.
Well, why are you crying, Sally?
Because I've lost everything in the world there was to live for.
Jack, don't be silly, child. If the boy really loves you, nothing will keep you apart. I'm the one to be pitied, not you. Think, a few months ago I was the Grand Duke of a great monarchy, and now I am a waiter. where they don't allow tips. But am I unhappy? No. Because the sun still shines on me as a waiter, like it did when I was the Grand Duke. The birds sing as sweetly, and I know someday that I'm going back to my dear Czechoslovakia. And oh, Sally, what a place that was.
The banks of Mishnita, Kamiski, they're all just as wild as can be. Any time, without reason or rhyme, you will find it far wider to be. In the night, they will rouse you and chase you and prod you with bayonets like me. If you meet with defeat, they'll cut off your retreat where Mishnita flows down to the sea. I'm a duke from a wonderful clime, and I've had a remarkable time. My people are splendid, somewhat unique. They like revolutions at least once a week. Sunday you may be the king, Monday you don't mean a thing. On the banks of the Schnitzel, Kamiski, we don't have to brew on the sly, making hooch out of bits of potatoes and hair oil and wood pulp and dye. When we dine, why, we just swim in wine. So come on, girls, go gather with me, and I treat everyone to a beautiful bun where the ships are flows down to the sea.
Now, dear, if you're a good girl and don't cry, I take you back with me and make you a princess.
Oh, Connie, don't you think I'll ever see him again?
During this little scene, Sally's lover has returned. The Grand Duke turns and, seeing him, tells Sally to close her eyes, that he has a surprise for her.
See, Sally? I told you. Every cloud has a silver lining, even in the hash house. Here is your boyfriend, and my invitation to Czechoslovakia goes double. You can both come.
I thought your father told you never to see me again.
My dad didn't ask me if he could see my mother when he was courting her. Sally, I love you. And I want to marry you.
But your father, he'll cut you off.
Well, suppose he does. Who cares?
Look for the silver lining whenever a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is shining, and so the light will do. Make it shine for you, a heart full of joy and gladness will always
be. Thank you, Eddie, darling, for giving me a moment or two on this thrilling program just to make a remark. We of Chrysler Motors, ladies and gentlemen, are deeply grateful to you for your letters and telegrams of comment on the first Ziegfeld radio show last Sunday evening. Mr. Ziegfeld said, you remember, but how do I know they're listening? Well, we know now, and thanks a lot. More than that, thousands of you accepted the invitation of Mr. Chrysler to visit a DeSoto, Dodge, or Chrysler dealer and look at this new, finer Plymouth. The first 4 days after the new Plymouth came out, and this is just between us, I got a wire from the factory in Detroit this morning, the first 4 days, the factory received 23,119 orders for Plymouth automobiles. Perhaps our radio show had something to do with it. We in the studio like to think so anyhow. 23,000 Plymouths ordered in 4 days last week. And no wonder, what's an automobile? In the first place, it's the longest and biggest car in the lowest price bracket. Then just check over these reasons for Plymouth superiority. That amazing new development, floating power, that means a ride without vibration. All-steel body, hydraulic brakes, low center of gravity made possible by a sturdy double-drop X-frame. And in addition to all these performance and safety features, Chrysler Motors now offers you the protection of DuPlate safety plate glass at the lowest price at which this glass was ever quoted as optional equipment. It costs less than $10 for all-around equipment in the coupe and less than $18 in the four-door sedan. DuPlate safety plate glass absolutely eliminates the danger of glass splitters, the cause of 45% of the injuries in motor car accidents. It gives you the satisfaction and the peace of mind of knowing that you have taken every precaution to ensure the safety of your loved ones and yourselves. You can have DuPlate safety plate glass in the Plymouth, the DeSoto, the Dodge, and the Chrysler. Particularly, see this new, finer Plymouth and compare it with the other two cars in this price class.
23,000 careful purchasers did that very thing in 4 days. Follow their example. You know you can look without buying, so don't buy without looking. Now I'll turn the microphone back to Eddie Dowling. Thanks again.
Thanks, Al Weeks. Mr. Ziegfeld just wants me to tell the radio audience that next Sunday night he'll talk about some of his famous beauties and some of the greatest stars that ever appeared under his banner. And until then, good night and good luck follow you through the week.
Why Was I Born from Sweet Adeline was sung by special permission of the copyright owners. And the theme, A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody, was played by special permission of Irving Berlin. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. When Fanny Bryce introduced her annoying little kid character, the public wanted more of it, and Baby Snooks was a regular part of many variety shows. In the late 1940s, Baby Snooks took a sitcom format, sponsored by General Foods. This episode is sponsored by its Jell-O product, as Baby Snooks decides to look for a boyfriend. Enjoy Baby Snooks. First broadcast, October 24th, 1947, on CBS.
J-E-L-L,
oh! Jell-O, and I like it.
It's Baby Snooks. Jell-O in those six delicious flavors brings you the Baby Snooks Show, starring Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks, with Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Arlene Harris as Mummy, Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, and me, Harlow Wilcox. And now to Sycamore Terrace. It's early morning, and Daddy is just dropping Snooks and her little friend Isabel off at school.
Well, here you are, kids. Study hard.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Goodbye, Snooks. And please don't make any trouble for the teacher. You've had to stand in the corner every day this week.
It ain't my fault.
I don't care whose fault it is. You've been wearing that dunce cap so often, your head's starting to come to a point.
No, it ain't. It was always that way.
I'll go on. And try to be smart.
I am. Yesterday, I was the only one in the whole class who could answer the teacher's question.
Really? What was the question?
Who put the chewing gum in Annabella's hair?
Well, don't let me hear anything like that again.
I'll try not to. Goodbye, Daddy.
Goodbye.
Come on, Snooks. Oh, look, there's Henrietta Barstow. Hello, Henrietta.
Hello, Isabel.
Hello, Henrietta.
Oh, hello, Snooks. Oh, I'm so glad I met you, Isabel. I'm having a party this Friday night, and I'd like you to come.
Oh, thank you, Henrietta. I'll be glad to come.
Good.
Didn't you forget something, Henrietta?
I don't think so.
You sure?
I'm sure.
You're absolutely, positively sure?
Yes.
Oh. You know what I feel like doing Friday night, Henrietta?
What?
I feel like just going to a party.
Oh, why don't you?
'Cause nobody invited me.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. You know, Henrietta, if someone invited me to a party, guess what kind of a present I'd bring them?
What kind?
A great big doll with beautiful clothes and big eyes, and they open and they close and they open and they close.
I've got a better doll than that.
Yes? Yes. How about a box of candy?
We're going to have all the candy that anybody can eat.
Oh.
What's so funny?
A funny riddle. Want to hear it?
No.
Oh, it's very funny. I'll make you laugh like anything. You want to hear it?
Oh, all right. What is it?
Well, you say to me,
the answer is very funny.
All right. Snooks, would you like to come to my party?
I'd love to. But first, Sarah, I'll see you at your party, Henrietta. I haven't seen you since we got here. What are you doing over here in the corner?
Just sitting.
Why don't you get out and dance?
I did, but Henrietta stopped me.
Stopped you? Why?
She said I look silly dancing with a chair.
Oh, what's the matter, Snooks? Don't you like any of the boys here?
Yeah. I like them all.
Then why don't you try to get them to dance with you?
I tried, but they're all stronger than I am.
Well, here comes Jerry. I'll get him over here, and then you talk to him.
What'll I say? Do you want to dance, Jerry?
Oh, no. Lead up to it gradually.
Mm-hmm.
First talk about school and the music and...
All right, you hold him while I talk to him.
Yoo-hoo, Jerry, come here a minute.
Hello, Isabel.
I'd like you to meet Snooks Higgins.
Hello, Snooks.
Hello. How do you like school? I like the music nice. You want to dance?
No, thanks. I've got the next one.
Well, how about the one after?
No.
The one after that?
Look, silly, I don't want to dance.
You want to wrestle?
Oh, go home and tell your mother she wants you. Well, bye, Isabel.
Oh, Snooks, you'll have to learn more about boys.
It's no use. I guess they don't like the brainy type.
Oh, look, here comes someone you know. It's Mr. Wilcox. Talk to him, Snooks. I'll see you later.
Oh, Mr. Wilcox.
Hello, Snooks. Nice party, isn't it?
Is it?
Why, what's the matter?
I can't find the boy who likes me.
Well, then I came along at just the right time.
You?
That's right.
Oh, Mr. Wilcox, I didn't know you cared.
Now, wait a minute.
Can I call you Harlow?
Well, yes, but...
Come on, let's dance, Harlow.
You've got me wrong, Snooks. I just meant I know a surefire way to get any boy interested and keep him that way.
Tell me quick.
Why, everybody knows the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And everybody knows that Jell-O is a real heart winner. And now that Jell-O is coming back again, more and more Jell-O in all six delicious flavors, why, you can be the belle of every ball.
Who ever heard of dancing with Jell-O?
Ah, that's just it, Snooks. Who wants to dance when they can eat Jell-O?
Yeah.
Jell-O in any one of those six flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime. Each flavor is so rich with that famous locked-in goodness. So delectable, it makes you think of the real ripe fruit. Why, the boys will be asking you to sit every dance out.
That's just what they're asking me now.
Snooks, you don't understand. Now, just picture this.
Mm-hmm.
You, a boy, a shimmering dish of Jell-O.
And two spoons.
Now, you see, what a chance for romance.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Wilcox.
Don't mention it. Well, I'll be running along. See you later, Snooks.
Goodbye.
Well, Snooks, I hope you're enjoying my party.
You want to know something, Henrietta?
What?
Your party is very, very icky.
Oh, is that so? Well, you insisted on coming.
Yeah, but you ain't got enough boys to go around. When I give my party, I'm having 9 boys for every girl.
Don't be silly. You can't even get one boy for yourself.
I can if I want to.
You cannot.
Why can't I?
If you want to know, because you're not pretty enough.
How would you like a smack on the nose?
Fighting won't change your look.
No, but it's going to change yours.
Oh, Mama, make her go home.
I don't understand it, Snooks. The party's still going on. Why did you call me to take you home so early? What happened?
Nothing.
Oh, it must be something. Come on, tell Daddy.
Well...
Oh, Snooks, honey. What's this all about? Now, stop crying and tell Daddy.
Everybody hates me, especially the boys. I couldn't get even one dance.
Oh, what do you care? Boys don't mean a thing at your age.
They do, too. Everybody's got a boyfriend except me. Rosemary Jackson's got a boyfriend, and Isabel Jones has got a boyfriend.
Well, don't worry, honey. You'll have a boyfriend, too.
I will not.
Now, what makes you say that?
Because I'm ugly.
No, you're not.
I am, too, and my mouth is too big.
Look, that denotes a kind heart.
I don't want a kind heart. I want a boyfriend.
Honey, you have nothing to worry about. If a big mouth was any handicap, half the women in the world would never get married.
And my ears are too big.
Who says so?
Johnny Fields, he said they looked like two people were speaking over my shoulder.
I wish she hadn't told me that. Now every time I look at her, I'm going to think there's two people.
What did you say, Daddy?
Nothing.
Look, I thought she said...
No. Look, Snooks. There's no use trying to kid you as long as there are mirrors in the house. You're young and ugly. But just remember the story of the ugly duckling. Wait till you grow up. Then you know what you'll be?
Yeah. Old and ugly.
You will not. You'll be like the duckling and turn into a graceful swan.
I will?
Absolutely. Now what?
I'll have feathers on my back.
Now stop it. You don't have to worry about it now. You have 10 years to play, another 10 years to pray. And after that, there's always the Lonely Hearts Club.
What's the Lonely Hearts Club?
Nothing for you. They advertise they'll get you a sweetheart when all else has failed.
Lonely Hearts Club, huh? Hearts Club. I am writing you because I want a sweetheart.
Gee, Henrietta, I wonder why Snooks asked us to wait for her here after school.
I don't know, Isabel. She hasn't even spoken to me since my party last week.
I haven't seen much of her either. Oh, here she comes.
Oh, yeah. What's that piece of paper she's waving?
So you think I can't get a boyfriend, huh, Smarty?
Well, what are you talking about, Snow?
Well, read this letter. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, let's see. Darling Snooks, all my life I've waited for a girl like you, and now I found you.
See?
Gee, that's a beautiful letter. It's so mooshy. Who's it from?
For my boyfriend. Go ahead, Henrietta.
Needless to say, I am the proudest man in the Des Moines City Hall. And I am the envy of all the other elevator operators.
So now, who can get a boyfriend?
I'll bet you wrote it to yourself.
I did not. Hear the envelope, see?
Yeah. But Snooks, do you realize how lucky you are?
What do you mean, lucky?
Why, you're the only girl in school with a real grown-up boyfriend.
Is that good?
Why, it's wonderful. You only get someone like him once in a lifetime.
Really?
I want you to be my friend, Snook. Come on down to the drugstore. I'll buy you a soda.
No, I want to buy her a soda.
I ask her first.
I don't care. I'm going to buy her a soda. I know what. You can both buy me a soda. Here's a mail, Daddy.
Oh, thanks, son. What's that other letter?
What other letter?
The one you just put in your pocket.
I didn't put no letter in my pocket.
Do you think I'm blind? Give me that letter.
No, it's mine.
Give it to me.
Here.
It is addressed to you. And in a very mature handwriting. Snooks, how do you explain this?
I never saw it before in all my life.
Now stop that. Something very strange is going on here, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
I didn't do nothing wrong, Daddy. I just wanted a boyfriend.
Why, this must have been going on for weeks. After 5 days, return to Albert Potter. Elevator number 3, City Hall, Des Moines. Snooks, you haven't been writing to a grown man, have you? Well, have you?
Yeah.
Oh. Where did you meet this man?
Oh, I didn't meet him yet.
Well, how did you get in touch with him? You don't just sit down out of thin air and write a letter to occupant, elevator number 3, Des Moines City Hall.
No, you write to the Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh. I had to open my big mouth. It's all my fault.
Yeah.
Let me see what you two find to talk about. My precious darling. Precious darling.
That's me.
Oh, goodness. I received your last loving letter, and I'm sorry to hear that you're working so hard in your new show. New show? Snooks, have you been telling this man things that aren't true?
No, Daddy, he's way ahead of me.
Obviously, you must have lied to him. Who does he think you are?
The darling of Cafe Society.
What? Where did you get an idea like that?
From a magazine story.
Oh. I realize I can't expect you to sit home nights waiting for me, and I don't mind a few casual friends. But who is this Tommy Manville you mentioned?
It was from a magazine.
Where is this going to end?
I don't know. I ain't finished the story yet.
Well, you better finish it in a hurry.
Well, I can't.
Why not?
I tore out the last page to make spitballs.
Oh, Snooks. This is absolutely ridiculous. You with a grown-up boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm the only girl in the school who has one.
Well, you won't have him long.
I will, too. You only get something like him once in a lifetime.
Snooks, I want you to stop writing to this man.
I won't do it.
But the whole thing is absurd.
No, I won't do it.
Of course, I could have insisted she stop writing to him, Vera, but that would have made a hero out of him, and Snooks would have liked him that much more.
Well, you're not going to let it go on, are you?
Oh, don't worry. I have a perfect plan. I'll get her interested in some nice kid her own age, and she'll forget all about that old codger.
Well, that may not be as easy as it sounds.
Oh, I'll manage. I invited 10 of the nicest boys in town to drop over tonight.
Good heavens, Lancelot, the house is all upset.
Oh, don't worry. Not all of them could make it.
Well, how many are coming?
One.
Oh, who is he?
Timmy O'Brien. His father works in our shipping department.
Oh, Daddy.
Oh, hello, Snooks. I got a big surprise for you. Wait till you hear who's coming over to see you tonight.
Who?
Timmy O'Brien.
I never heard of him.
Oh, well, just wait till he flashes that big Irish smile at you. You'll melt. He's got the cutest grin and even white teeth. Oh, those teeth. I've never seen anything to compare with them.
You like them, Daddy?
I certainly do.
Then you go out with him.
Why, he sounds wonderful, Snooks. I may go out with him myself.
Have a good time.
Well, that must be Timmy now. I'll open it. Vera, wait till you see this kid smile. It really gets you. Well, Timmy O'Brien. Come right on in, Timmy. Snooks is waiting for you.
I am not.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Snooks, say hello to Timmy.
Hello, Timmy.
Hello, Snooks.
What did he say?
I said, hello, Snooks.
Timmy, what happened to your teeth?
He ain't got any.
Are you sure this is the right boy, Lancelot? All his front teeth are missing.
Oh, this is unbelievable. Only yesterday he threw a beautiful, gleaming white smile at me.
Well, maybe he threw it at somebody else and it didn't come back.
Well, I'll go fix the candy. Good luck, Mr. Matchmaker.
Well, isn't this chummy? Just the three of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they say three's a crowd. Maybe there's one too many here, eh?
Yeah, I'll leave.
Come back here. We'll all stay.
All right.
Well, Go ahead, Snooks. Talk to Timmy.
I don't like him.
Why, he's a wonderful boy.
Oh, he's oogly boogly.
Now, how can you say a thing like that? He's an athlete. A football hero.
Oh, Mr. Higgins.
Yes, sir. I can see him now. He's got the ball. He eludes one tackler, then another. There he goes. What a runner. He's all over the field.
So is his teeth.
Oh, what's the use?
I won't always look like this, Snooks. When I get my new teeth, will you go out with me?
I'm sorry, Timmy. But I'm through to Albert.
Forget Albert. You're going out with Timmy.
I am not.
You are too.
I am not. I'll tell Albert on you.
Albert Schmalbert. Now listen, I'm your father and you'll do as I say. Now where are you going?
I'm going to write to Albert. And he'll take me away from all this. In this elevator.
You know, these brisk fall days make me wish I was a kid again. But then I guess I still am one at heart. That is, when it comes to Jell-O, I'm delighted to know that Jell-O is coming back again. Yes, more Jell-O, and before long there'll be still more until there's all you want again. Jell-O is such a swell treat, always. For a very special Jell-O dessert these fall days, my wife serves jellied orange cubes. They're bright and gay and so simple to make. Just mold the Jell-O in a flat pan, chill until firm, and cut into shimmering little one-inch cubes. Then turn them into your prettiest serving bowl, combined with fresh orange sections. You can use any flavor of Jell-O for jellied cubes, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime. All six delicious flavors are rich with that famous locked-in goodness that's exclusive with Jell-O, just as the name is exclusive with Jell-O. Yes, that name Jell-O is a trademark, the property of General Foods, and it tells you here is the genuine, the one and only Jell-O gelatin dessert. So look for those big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O, and Jell-O spells a treat. And now back to Sycamore Terrace. Snooks wrote a letter to her middle-aged Lonely Heart Club correspondent, Albert Potter, begging him to come and carry her away from her tyrannical father. It's now 1 week later, and Snooks is up in her room with her little friend, Isabel.
Why did you ask me to come over here tonight, Snooks?
I want my daddy to think you're up helping me with my homework.
You want me to help you?
No. You want to know a secret, Isabel?
What?
Look at this letter.
Here, let me see.
Dearest,
you are right. That atmosphere is no place for a flower like you.
Mm-hmm.
I will be under your window with a ladder at 8 o'clock on the 17th.
But that's tonight.
Yeah. I'm going to elope.
Oh, Snooks, how romantic.
Albert is wonderful.
Oh, it'll be fun to have a husband. Do you know how old he is?
No, but I think he's middle-aged. I bet he's 19.
Gee, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'll be Mrs. Albert Potter.
Snooks, will you name your first baby after me?
Sure, I'll order one from the hospital right away, and I'll name it Isabel.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mrs. Potter. Is he rich, Snooks?
Oh, my, yes. His letter says we could live on his mansion.
A mansion?
I think that's what it meant. He spelled it P-E-N-S-I-O-N.
Gee, I wish I were eloping.
He'll be here any minute. Now help me, and put this veil over my head.
But he won't be able to see your face.
Mind your own business, Isabel.
Can I help you pack your bag?
No, it's all packed.
What are you taking?
Everything I need on my honeymoon, my jacks, my yo-yo, my teddy bear, and an extra pair of socks.
What's that noise?
It's Albert with a ladder. Turn the lights. What's the matter with him? He's trying to find the window. He found it.
I hear him climbing up the ladder, Snooks.
Now you keep quiet. And don't let him know you're here.
I see his head.
Shh. I'm going to open the window. Is that you, Albus?
Oh, my aching back.
What's the matter, Albus?
Oh, nothing. I'm just out of breath.
Albus, take me in your arms and carry me down the ladder.
Wait, just give me a minute, my love.
You still want to lope, don't you?
Oh, desperately, my love, but carrying a full-grown woman. I can't see you in the dark, dearest. How much do you weigh?
43 pounds.
Huh? Have you been ill? Your voice sounds peculiar, too.
Well, you better hurry. Now, I'll climb on your shoulder, and you can carry me piggyback.
No, wait a minute. How old are you?
60. Here I come.
Get off my neck.
Quick, down the ladder.
I'm going as fast as I can, but I think I've made a terrible mistake.
Now, if my daddy catches us, he'll give me a spanking.
Spanking? I thought so. You're nothing but a child.
I am not. I'm the darling of Cafe Society.
Let go of my ear.
All right. I'll hold on to your hair.
No, stop that.
Oh, I scalped you. All your hair came off.
Hey, back on. Get your foot out of my mouth.
All right.
Oh, there go my teeth.
You're all falling apart.
Thank heavens we're on the ground.
Hey, you take your hands off her.
What?
Kimmy, put up your dukes, mister. If you want Snooks, you'll have to fight me first.
Fight you first?
Are you making fun of the way I speak?
No. Take her, son, and I hope you'll both be happy. Goodbye.
Are you all right, Snooks?
Yeah.
I hope you ain't mad at what I did.
No, you saved me from that awful habit.
Awful? I thought he was your boyfriend.
No. You're my hero.
Gosh, I am?
Yeah. Couldn't you tell? Oh, I guess you don't know much about women.
What's this ladder? What's going on down there?
It's all right, Daddy. I'm down here with my boyfriend.
Albert?
No, Timmy.
Timmy? How do you like that?
I like it.
Well, Snooks got her man. Be sure to listen next week when she'll be back in another great adventure. Until then, remember Jell-O in those six delicious flavors. Snooks, you tell them.
Just a taste of tempting Jell-O. And believe me, you will know. It's the one and only J-E-L-L-O. I like it.
The syrup with that real Northwoods flavor is back. Ask for Log Cabin at your grocer's.
Have Log Cabin, have Log Cabin, have Log Cabin.
Friends, the community chest drive is now on all over the country, and we'd like to interest everyone in giving just as generously as they can to their local community chest. Because when you do, you're supporting services which help your own friends and neighbors. In fact, to give to the community chest is to be a good neighbor. Give as much as you possibly can to your community chest drive. The money you give goes to the support of many wonderful Red Feather services. Boys and girls clubs, hospitals, clinics, homes for the aged, social service organizations for child and family welfare. Services that benefit the entire community and make your town a better place to live in. This is a cause that deserves your support. You know, by combining all their appeals for aid in one campaign, community chests save money and are able to do more. So give generously to your local community chest drive.
Everybody benefits, everybody gives. The Baby Snooks Show, starring Fanny Bryce as Snooks and Hanley Stafford as Daddy, is written by Jess Oppenheimer, Ashmead Scott, and Frank Tarloff. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking.
Listen again next Friday night and every Friday night to the Baby Snooks Show, transcribed and starring Fanny Bryce. Now stay tuned for Club 15, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KNX, Columbia Square, Los Angeles.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.